new female artist out of Chicago. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. This is a special week. Not only is it a special week, but for the next 2 weeks, you'll have to listen to previous episodes because I will be out of town. So enjoy hearing my voice for the last time till September. We have a full show for you. We have actually have a few guests coming on today. We have a one of my former teammates, is Eric. And we're going to have Ms. O'Sullivan come in and talk a little bit about in the class action lawsuit here in British Columbia going on from the Indigenous peoples versus the state. So we're going to do it a little bit backwards today. If you've never listened to the show, we like to talk about a little bit of politics, a little bit of local politics, a little bit of national politics, some funny stuff, some interesting stories, and then pretty much anything I want to talk about because it's my show. And also, I'm a man of the people, so I like to bring you guys some new information that you potentially have not heard and things that I think that you should care about. You know, we like to start off about the weather here in British Columbia. For the past, I'm going to say about like month and a half, we've been having wildfires all over BC, and nobody here in the Lower Mainland really, I'm not going to say nobody cares about the wildfires, but it's not really taken seriously until it affects your life. And for the past week or so, we've been having, it's been really smoky out. Like, you can't even see the mountains if you look north. I don't know why you would look south, but you can't see there either. The air quality has been very, very poor, which is pretty bad for me because, so I coach Little League football, and I like to run the kids. I like to, like, if you've ever played Little League sports, I am your most favorite, least favorite coach. Like, I am the one who enforces our conditioning and gets you right. But, so we've been having really, really poor weather here, not temperature-wise or sun-wise, but just air quality-wise, which I guess is worse. On Tuesday, they said the air quality is worse than Beijing. And so I wanted to know, like, how bad is Beijing's air quality? And Beijing's air quality is like smoking 40 cigarettes in one day. 1 hour exposed to the air takes 20 minutes off of your life. So on Tuesday, I took about 3 hours off my life and smoked about 80 cigarettes. So if you have the chance to stay inside, if you can, you should do that. But if you have the urge to go outside, just make sure that you're aware of the situation. However, it will be sunny today with a high of 72. I'm looking at these Fahrenheit and it's really confusing me because going back and forth is hard. But so I think that's around 20. So it'll be around 20 degrees. It's supposed to rain on Sunday, which will be good. Hopefully it will quell some of these forest fires and bring a little bit of normalcy to our days. So Donald Trump Jr. was seen in a Prince George's Airport. Now, if you don't know who Donald Trump Jr. is, he's Donald Trump's son. And I've actually never seen him in a picture without his brother Eric Trump. So, like, if you've ever seen him, they look like the guys from The Purge. And Donald Trump Jr.'s son was seen in northern BC, probably hunting, because he's a big hunter. If you haven't heard, he talks about his wild game safaris in Africa, and he likes to hunt stone sheep in BC. And I'm like, I know that he doesn't like officially have a job, but he is under investigation for some dealings. And so it's interesting that he, you know, while we believe that these like matters are so serious and we talk about them every day, we talk about Donald Trump, we talk about his sons, and we talk about Russia all of the time, these guys are actually just relaxing. Like Trump has been on a golf course like 60 days of his 200 days in office. His son is hunting in northern BC. So maybe we just take it a little too serious. Or maybe they don't take it serious enough. I don't know the answer, but we're talking about him. So it must be a little more serious than we'd like to think. Excuse me, guys. I'm going to talk to you. I'm a little bit tired. Not only have I seen Game of Thrones like four times this week, like I'm very, very worried about these leaks that the hackers are going to make, because I don't know if I have the discipline to not watch the leaked episodes. So if you haven't heard, there's hackers who hacked into HBO's, I guess, database or servers, emails, everything. Before we get into the HBO hackers, I feel that hacking was never like a career option for me. Like, nobody ever told me that I could have been a hacker, but these guys seem to be doing pretty well. And hackers all over the world seem to be making lots of money. Like, there's hackers that hacked Hillary Clinton's emails. There's hackers that got Russian hackers. I'm sure those Russian hackers on the payroll are probably paid pretty well. Everybody seems to have hackers, but yet nobody's a hacker. I'm very curious about where people learn how to do this type of things. Like, is this something that's passed down from father to son? Or is this something that is learned in the back channels of, like, World of Warcraft? I don't know. But I think that we should like open up hacking as a like a career option for kids, because it seems pretty lucrative. And while it seems to be very tough, I feel that if more kids knew that it was an option, like going to the NFL or the NBA or something like that, then they would probably get into it just a little bit more. So if you haven't heard, there are hackers who hacked HBO, and they only want $6 million. They only want $6 million. Like, HBO could easily pay $6 million, but they don't negotiate with terrorists. But they want $6 million, or they will release the emails and the scripts from the show. They'll release the unreleased episodes. And if we're lucky, they will release phone numbers from some of the stars. Now, I could be into that. Not that Daenerys might answer my text message, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So, like, if HBO wants to release, doesn't care, I'll be happy either way. But I will be sad, because like last week the episode got released, and me personally, and seeming to be all my friends, like, we just had this collective idea that like we are not going to watch this leaked episode, at least not talk about it. So I don't know if my friends actually watched it, or I don't know if people watched it before and just refused to speak on it until Sunday, because they have this, you know, there's really a nice etiquette and it's around Game of Thrones, and then people are just very respectful of not to spoil it. And being on the West Coast, it's very difficult because the East Coast sees it 3 hours before we do. However, I don't know if I could do that with three more episodes or two more, however many more. Like, one episode was fine. They released three episodes. I might have to check them out. When we get back, we'll be talking about why Americans are bringing guns into Canada and why we should care about that type of stuff.
When the love taught me how to dance left, I stopped dancing and died quickly. I wanna come back as a small leaf in a fig tree covering Eve's titties, and I saved the world by whispering, don't do it. Shout out all my niggas with the young girl going through it. Bumping this record on the night that I cold banged by myself in a semi-comfortable PJ gold chain. All I left, no, no. Check my pocket, I got like $11. Whoever gets to me first could get it. History say celebrity never worth forgetting. The spread love, enemy never hurts, but given the circumstance, that energy necessary for living past 15 even. I miss seeing reasons till I write to my mom about where I'm going and end up with someone under my dome before I get there. I'm going right back home before I get there. I swear I get scared. I swear I'm sincere the whole time, even with the wrong shit, even with the fucking nigga bitch shit. I'm with shit, even with the kill shit. I will shit on you with the permanent, terminant, discernment. Boom.
These niggas take me for granted. What would happen if I vanish? Better hunted, they panic. My shooters only speak Spanish. Keep my heart with my dogs. Keep my car in the yard. I can't drive in nowhere, so I let you niggas take off. Seen the shit that they drop. That shit not instantly hot. I give that instant rebop. That replay value go off. That make my value go up. I keep that bow in my cup. My niggas rolling, got the going with a thousand of bus. That nigga Kevin K. Rap. He too savvy with his shit. He don't rep me with his shit. Ain't he about 20 and shit? When he let go of that shit, he'll probably be a little quarter. Y'all agree with me, shit? That nigga need to act his age. He ain't acting like a grown up. Ain't that boy protect us? He ain't acting like a soldier. Do that for your high school, man. That nigga wasn't awkward. And I know his mama, man. That nigga just a liar.
Cash don't lie. Cash don't mean shit, shit. Grab my last bitch, bitch. Cash my last check, check. Cash don't mean shit, shit. Cash don't mean shit, shit. Grab my last bitch, bitch. Cash my last check, check. Cash don't mean shit, shit.
Call me king of the niggas. I need a crown made of thorns. Got to let there be light. On the day I was born, step off the ship with the slaves. Then I go hit the stage. I just left in a whip. All I need is a chain. I don't trust no niggas, and I don't trust no bitch, cause people talk too much. I bought a black 4/5 in a brand new clip. That's my new best friend, cause I'm a brand new nigga in a brand new crib. I ain't selling no more, but got my hand in the zip. Whitey gave me the check. I ain't asked for the fame. I used to deal with the grams, so they put the cam on my face. Now I'm evading the law. I'm on a high speed chase. I'm in a big ass truck. I tell them get out the way. I got a couple of warrants, so I'm leaving my state. Now I'm in Cali today with the sun on my face. I got a bag of the gas and a blunt I can face.
How I'm gonna move at your pace? I'm busy setting the tone. You think we running together? I'm in the lane of my own. Don't got no friends in this game. It's me and my brothers alone. They thinking that we competing. That shit depleting my bones. I don't need all that energy. They just fuck up my chakras. I put my heart in the locker. They love me when I'm a martyr. They hate me when I'm myself. I can't barter with that. You watch us charter these tracks. It's sticking like tartar and plaque. I need a parlor of plaques. Need lobsters and helicopters. I need peace with my niggas. Need doctors. Get for all my doctors. I like to speak like a scholar. Like to think like a nigga. In this world, I can't wander. No honor behind the trigger. I could get shot in my back. And they'll tell the world that I fought them. We ain't taught them nothing new. But somehow they been getting smarter. That's what they saying in private. Speaking from that entitlement. We still working for time. And make it title environments.
Cash don't last, my friends will ride with me. Keep them in my bag, we rock the limousine. When the guns go pow, won't bother us again. I don't wanna do it, but they keep on pushing me. Cash don't last, my friends will ride with me. Keep them in my bag, we rock the limousine. When the guns go pow, won't bother us again. I don't wanna do it, but they keep on pushing me.
Hood, put your any up, riding in the limousine. I'm stuck on somebody head. Underdog, we can't be. Fuck all this energy, you just wanna bring me down. Fuck all your energy, you just wanna bring me down. Fuck with the windows up, going past the exit now. Fuck like a money shot, swerving to the sunset. Me and all my boys jet, swerving like a donut. Off, 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 swerving like a donut.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And I forgot what I said I was going to talk about. However, I got a lot of energy. I was reading this story. If you've ever had any type of animosity towards like the Kardashians or the Jenners, you should be happy to learn that Kylie Jenner's cosmetic company will be worth over $1 billion by 2022, it is predicted. And she's done just over $350 million in sales this past year. And I want to know, where can, like, is there like a Kardashian stock ticker like that I could invest in? Because like, as much as people like to talk trash about them, and they like to like just like, it's easy to just like bash on the Kardashians, but like, they just make so much money. Like, how does everything that they do just make so much money? It doesn't make any sense, but it makes lots of dollars. So I would like to invest. Like, reading some of the statistics about like some other cosmetic companies, like Lancôme took 80 years to make $1 billion revenue, and it's pretty crazy just to see, like, I think what was it, like, Kim Kardashian's Kimojis was making like $1 million a day last year. Yeah, I think we talked about that on the show. Just like, they just make so much money. So I feel that Kylie Jenner is already a little bit like manufactured. So it's just time before like she IPOs. And I feel like I would probably buy stock in that because I feel like, what is she, like 19 or 20? She's just going to continue to make more money. It's amazing. It's crazy. Speaking of like manufactured and like identities. So a study was done on Instagram posts, and it was talking about how the filters you use can like predict whether you're depressed or not. And not only can they predict whether you're depressed or not, but Instagram and Facebook have developed technology to sense when people are depressed and sense when people are like feeling suicidal. And they are like working on a program so that they can provide pick me ups and ego boosts for people. And I was thinking about this yesterday, like it's pretty necessary. I guess it's necessary because one, it's a lot of people who are depressed on social media, and not only are they get depressed from like watching social media and looking at other people's social media, but they then like internalizes it and it becomes a cycle. So a study came out where it's talking about Generation Z, but I feel like it can go beyond that, probably to everyone who uses social media, like that, like our phones and things have been linked to increasing our depression and making us just less happy in general. And it's pretty interesting that Facebook sees itself as like a intermediary and has like an entity that feels that they have to they feel like they have to combat this issue. You know, we've already seen them taking stance against like cyberbullying and other behaviors on the internet. But this seems like another step, not only into mental health and how people deal with those types of things, but also like into your privacy. Like, what if you're not depressed? Like, in Facebook suggests that you may be depressed. Like, well, I'd be interested to see how they roll it out. But as like these, Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook become more ingrained in your life, I feel like you should just expect more and more like invasions of your privacy and even your own thought process and ways to fool you into feeling better. I mean, I don't look forward to that, but I'm also not going to deactivate my Facebook. Like I tried, I don't know how people would live without it or without their phones. It's pretty, I don't know. I just can't do it. It just seems too difficult. If you're like me and you like the show Broad City, it's one of my favorite shows. You have to remember the episode where Alana put the dildo into the dishwasher and ruined it. Easily one of my favorite episodes. Just for just weird, like sexual deviancy. Like I'm just into the show. It's a very good show. However, they've come out with a sex toy line. Now, if you're looking to buy that green dildo on the show, you can't. They do have other things. I'm not going to go through all of the products. You can go look them up yourself. But it seems also like everything that those women touch turns to gold as well. And Lana Glaser will be doing a comedy show here in a few months. So if you'd like to go, I'd go with you. I think it would be great. You know, and if you have tickets to give me, you can call in at 604-822-2487 and you can buy me tickets, because I feel like on the radio, they give away a lot of tickets, but nobody's showing love for the people who are behind the mic every week, you know? And like, who's going to show me some love? Like, put some money on my Compass card, buy me tickets to a show. It would be nice. It would be nice for a change. We should switch up these customs. Like, you know, you're getting this radio for free. time for you guys to start, you know, pitching in. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about college football, as it is football season, and some of Josh Rosen's comments. We also have an interesting guest who is a lot better in football than me, a lot better at football than me, played a lot more, and internalized some of these feelings. So, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire, Cheetos, fleece material, and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute. Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
And Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you and I rock with the best, 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Bells, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, right?
Yo, it's Iron Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.9, man. Turn up, turn up, turn up.
Up to you, and I swear that I knew you. But now I've lost my freaking man, and my thoughts don't understand that you hate me as a man. So now where do I go? You gave us all a home, but now I'm all alone. So now where do I go? You gave us all a home, but now I'm all alone.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And so it's fall, so we're going to talk a little bit about college football. So if you haven't heard, this past week, Josh Rosen, who is the quarterback for the UCLA Bruins, he talked about how basically school and football, like, don't really mix. And so we've talked about this before, about, like, the NCAA and about how much time you spend as a student-athlete, particularly on school and on football. And so I have a guest with me, my former teammate, Eric. I wonder, can we hear him? Hold on. Eric, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
You can hear us?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Ethan, my man, what's going on?
Hey, no, it's good, man. I haven't talked to you in a long time, man. How you been?
I've been good, man. I'm good. I'm still alive, still kicking.
Cool. Hey, well, Eric, well, I wanted to, you know, I talk about my experiences, but my experiences are a little different than, you know, than a scholarship athlete, because, you know, I feel like while they held me to, like, a high standard football wise, you know, they really let me do my own thing. So you, can you tell me, like, what was a typical day for you, like, you know, back when we were in school? Seems like so long ago.
All right, so it's been a few years, but I still remember it. I actually had two experiences, because I went to a junior college first and played for a year and a half before going to amazing D1 university. So at Ohio, typically, depending on the season, time of day, we might wake up at 5-something in the morning, either have film at 6 a.m. or have workouts at 6 a.m. or both, do that, go to the breakfast, be in class. Most of us had early classes just because of the practice schedule. So practice and treatment would start around 2 p.m. So the majority of our classes were before then. So typically had 8 a.m. classes. So you go to class all morning, go find some time to eat some lunch if you were lucky. Go to film study at 2, go to treatment, go to practice. That would run you until about 6 o'clock. After 6 o'clock, you would go try to get some dinner. A lot of us still had evening classes too, depending on our schedule. So go to class, go to dinner. Then, depending on your GPA, depending on how many hours of study hall you had to do per week. I think when I first got there, even though my GPA was fine after I transferred, they had me. It was mandatory because I was new, but I kind of got out of that. My GPA was high enough. But some people had to do upwards of 10 hours a week in study hall. So they were in study hall 2 to 3 hours a day during the week. So then typically you wouldn't get back to your dorm room or to your apartment until about 9, 10 o'clock at night.
You gotta do that every day.
Really, Yep, every day, Monday, pretty much Monday through Friday. Game day is a little different, but
yeah,
and it doesn't slow down until after spring ball.
It feels like it never slows down. So, you know, like when I have a very vivid memory of Coach Burrow, which I have told on the radio before, about when I got a concussion and he called me a pussy for not coming back for like a week afterwards. Like, do you have any experiences of like any of the coaches like pressuring you to come back from your injury? Because I know you, because you got hurt. Was it my junior year or senior year?
Yeah, I got hurt a couple times. You know, I had two surgeries, two in high school, and then I had two at Ohio. So I think, there was a little pressure. Mine were a little more serious, but it's like when I broke my thumb, I have a plate and five screws. And as soon as they told them that I had the option to still play, I had to take that option for the most part. It's like, I can take that option. I have a plate and five screws in there. I have a cast and I still play.
Yeah.
My foot injury was a little different because that was one that they didn't, like most doctors would say you can't even come back from. So they took their time and I was speeding through rehab. So I think I got back a couple months earlier than what they thought I would. So.
Yeah. So like, I'm sure you still follow college football now. I'm guessing. A little bit. But so you saw Josh Rosen's comments on like how people struggle, not just from the rigors of school and the rigors of football, but also just like from being away from home. And can you talk a little bit about like what was the most difficult part about being at school?
The most difficult part. It's always just scheduling and really actually just dealing with other people who are not in athletics. So when you're in athletics, they kind of silo you. They put you in the hub. At larger schools than ours, they do it more so because they have their own dining halls. They have a whole lot of their own stuff. But when I look back, it was kind of lucky that we kind of got integrated a little bit into campus. But just finding that balance, because you're dealing with people who think that all athletes get passed through. That we don't do no work, and they don't know that we're literally on the bus to Indiana or something, and we're doing homework Thursday and Friday morning on the bus trying to get stuff in, because a lot of teachers may not care about your athletics, or they don't respect you enough, so they don't care. If it's due, it's due. So really, really finding that balance, studying playbook to studying, you know, the work was difficult. I was from Texas, so going up to Ohio, that was my first time moving away from home. I didn't mind it because I grew up always wanting to get away from the house, but just really getting used to being away and not going home. Like, I didn't go home on breaks. Like, I went 2 years and didn't see home. Only reason I seen somebody because they came up to visit. Understanding that aspect and really trying to lean on my roommate parents as being my parents while I'm up there. So a lot of people struggle with that, and seeing the other students get to leave, and we're literally at practice on Thanksgiving and got a game the next day, getting ready for a bowl game during Christmas time, stuff like that. So you lose out on all that time with family that people don't account for. And I don't know if you remember, it was the point guard from UConn. One during the NCAA tournament a few years ago, Shabazz Napier said, they asked him, you know, how's it? And he's like, man, I've been hungry. I'm glad to be here because I'm eating. So a lot of people don't know, like, if you live in a college town, during the holidays, it shuts down. So if you didn't have food in your fridge, like, the city literally shuts down. So a lot of us do go hungry, too.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of different, it's a lot of stuff, but, you know, people just don't actually know what goes on.
Yeah, and I would say that me and you are like, you know, I wouldn't say we're special cases, but like we, you know, we had like this foresight, you know, this ability to see beyond, you know, like beyond football. But like, so do you, there's one last question. Like, do you feel that like if they were to make a decision, like the coaches were to make a decision, whether it was football or academics, in your best interest, like, How did you feel that would go?
If I had to make a decision,
if the coaches made a decision for you, whether it was best interest in football or best interest for you.
Let's be real here. Coaches get paid if we do good, so they got to choose football. That's their livelihood on the stake. So I couldn't even, blame them. They would have to choose football. That's the only reason they're there. They're there to coach. That's the only reason they're getting their six-figure salaries and seven figures in some cases. So I don't, while they might get the parents to say, look out for the best of the kids, we do that. They do the best they can, but they have a job to do, and their job depends on that. So, I mean, we kind of all know how that would go.
Yeah, and I guess I lied. I had two final questions. This is my last question. Do you when they talk about like paying players, do you think the players should be paid?
To a certain extent. I mean, it's hard to do because what people don't know, when you enter the NCAA and you sign that 1 year contract, you literally sign 4 or 5 1 year contracts. You actually give up the rights to your name. So, it's hard to even make money. For example, we can't even get free stuff without getting in trouble if they actually knew. Now, I got away with it, but
I guess you can say that now.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting free Sonic burgers and stuff, but dude, the owner would give us coupons and all that, but stuff like that. But I think there needs to be some form of payment. For example, if you're on full scholarship and you don't receive Pell Grant, like your mom makes too much money. Let's say your mom and pops don't make enough money to send you money. So all you have is your scholarship money. Now everything's paid for until the weekend comes or school shuts down on a holiday or you need to wash clothes. So what do they do? We don't have even petty cash to do some of the basic things that other students are doing because it's put into the account for their schooling. Plus, we get scholarship, you get housing, you get a meal plan, and you get, somewhere to stay. But after that, if those things are gone, we can't wash clothes, we can't buy snacks on the weekend, we can't do the little stuff. So there needs to be something. It doesn't have to be a major amount. But every athlete in every sport should get something.
Well, I agree. And, hey, Eric, I thank you for calling to the show. And, I appreciate you having it. And we got to catch up because it's been a long time.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna have to make my way out to Vancouver. I know a family that just moved out there. Is really, really dope person. So.
Oh yeah, man, it's
I'm gonna have to make that happen.
It's peaceful out here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good day, man.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Thanks.
Yeah, peace.
When we talked a little bit about this kicker who has his YouTube channel on, his life as a student athlete, and he made a music video, and I'm gonna play it.
Damn, I'm sorry things had to go down this way, man. I don't rap, I don't do no diss tracks, but I felt like this was necessary, man. I always took my scholarship, took my full ride, took my schooling, took my education, took my future. Hey, man, guess what? Y'all can take all that, man. Can't bring me down, though. I'm always be up. Always be up for the Bucks, man. Screw the NCAA. Ooh. Why they thought this was a game? Yeah. Try to take me off the tour.
I ain't gone.
But really just boosting my fame. They play all their athletes like fools. They try to do me the same.
Hell nah.
I couldn't even pay for food.
Nope.
Now I can go cop me a chain.
Ice.
I'm happy I made my decision.
Ooh.
I'm not working for the free.
They sleep.
God plans everything.
Okay.
And I know what's destined for me.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the way I'm living.
Ooh.
I'ma always do me.
Do me.
I keep a smile on my face.
Happy.
Cause that's what haters hate to see.
They hate it.
They booted me off the team.
Go.
How could they do that to me?
Get out.
I brought to school more advertising than borders in 2013.
Oh man.
Young, black, and successful.
Yeah.
Just trying to get a degree.
Graduate.
Read through all of my comments, they love you, see up cause of me.
Damn, drop the mic. Damn, I just spilled flames on this thing, man. I can't hold this no more, man. It's burning my hands, bro. Take it.
Man, a whole lot of gang stuff going on, man. You know how we rock. You know how we bought this money, man. We about to get all the guap. Foreign cars, you know we stars. Yeah, we gotta shine. Gotta grind, you feel me? Yeah. The NCAA so whack. How can they go and do that?
How?
They just mad young niggas working. Ooh. We about to get stacks.
Money.
We about to run it up.
Yeah.
Ain't no looking back.
For what?
Young niggas starting the business. They mad because we win.
CEO.
Star players get forgiveness. Ooh. Sell drugs, miss one game.
How the fuck?
They putting dirt on the name.
Dirt?
Forget the system, it's a shame.
Boom.
We don't need to do big things. Either way, we Hall of Fame.
H-O-F.
These people knowing our names.
Troy.
Without D, they looking lame.
Lame.
We branching out like a tree.
Woo.
They got us. So sleep.
Sleepy.
We working all day and night, so we keeping all the green.
Racks.
I'm sorry, NCAA, that's the way it gotta be.
Okay.
Young niggas, we savage. Fuck the bag, want the package. Try to play it like we average.
Average.
Money up, we living lavish.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. I'm off that wop again. Shit got me nauseous. I'm fucking sloshing, so I'm on my nonsense.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 East Aryan. Thank you, Eric, for coming on and talking a little bit about what life is as a athlete at Ohio. Now, I also play football at Ohio, and my experience was a little bit different. One, I never really had a major injury, so it was very different. However, what you see, like when you're there, is that not only are there's lots of kids, because like when we get to college, yeah, 17, 18, 19, like we're still pretty much kids. And what you see is that a lot of them are not prepared to be in school. Like without football, without football or without sports, there's a lot of people who wouldn't like academically qualify for it to be in the university. And so when they talk about like getting free schooling and even like balancing school with athletics and the rigor and the just amount of time that it takes, like if you don't have the tools to like take advantage of the education that has been given to you, then like how valuable is that education? So we like to think about, you know, getting a scholarship as being free school. But if you like are pressured into taking majors that you are not excited about, or that's not even what you want to do in your life, or you haven't even like thought about that, or no one's ever asked you, and you get basically herded into a particular major, you're not prepared to like absorb that knowledge, but you are there like as a body to play football. You know, we have to start thinking like how valuable is that? And even like Eric spoke about, like it's unquestioned that the job of the football coaches are to win football games. Like we like to think of coaches as developers of young men and developers of like morals and identities, and as like these as these individuals who stand above and like shape the strongest men that we have. But in all reality, that they're there to win football games, and that's when it comes down to it, like that is what they are about. So as I wait for, so we have a guest coming on to speak about the class action lawsuit between First Nations and the province of British Columbia. As historically, what happens, First Nations, she can talk to a little bit more, about this and a lot more in depth. But from what I gathered from reading the brief was that historically, First Nations children have been adopted forcefully into more westernized families, and basically First Nations people are beginning to reclaim their identity and their children, and they're suing for him. So she can talk a little bit about that in depth. And until then, we're going to listen to some more new music, because there is so much good music out. Here's the next one.
Even before I knew I wanted to make music, I always like studying music. I like melodies and shit like that.
She said I'm too hard to handle. I just wanna race the Lambo.
You talking about work, but that ain't your package, your man's on. I just wanna race a Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. Gucci be all in her sandals. She say I'm too hard to handle. I just wanna race a Lambo. I just wanna race a Lambo. Bro had his arm in the pan way before I had a Fando. I'm drinking straight out the handle. Remy might make me go Rambo. Heard you spit and change your channel. I put 10K on the mantle. Why these boys sound like my sample? Stealing my swag by the handful. You know that we mob and we keep the car running. That's just how we move like Soprano. Got it blending like a camo. I got the feds in the scramble. Anything possible, you gotta get it. And I had to make the example. The block got me covered like flannel. I keep it lit like a candle. I just wanna race a Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. I just wanna race a Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. Gucci be all in her sandals. She say I'm too hard to handle. I just wanna race a Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. Know you be flexing, you talking about work, but that ain't your package, your man's on. I just wanna race a Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. Gucci be all in her sandals. She say I'm too hard to handle. I just wanna race a Lambo. I just wanna race a Lambo. Yeah. She gave me top so sincere. Pulled up and brought her friends here. I got the whole hood in here. Just had to make that real clear. I want the diamonds this clear. I want to shine like Ric Flair. I need a million this year. Duck in the Lambo, switch gears. Shorty come ride with her when is she taking it off, cause I take it in. You a beginner, don't take it there. You and me know they ain't playing fair. We bust the work down and in the shits. You know my circle ain't in the squares. I just wanna race the Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. I just wanna race the Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. Gucci be all in her sandals. She say I'm too hard to handle. I just wanna race the Lambo. I just wanna race the Lambo. Know you be flexing, you talking about work, but that ain't your package, your man's on. I just wanna race the Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. I just wanna race the Lambo. Let's roll the dice and gamble. Gucci be all in her sandals. She say I'm too hard to handle.
Pull from your lungs. Let my songs move the room. Let my wrongs turn to dust. Let my words live in you. Let my son never born. My sons will know my ways, familiar as their name, and carry mine with grace and pride in their chest. Let lovers now and past still feel me in their hearts, still feel me in their time. Don't come in black or white, come bright as pride. With smiles as white as mine, and laughs long as the night. Unless, if my light ever should go, be my fire.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 Vancouver's community radio station. Before we sign off, I just want to note, tell North Korea, I've got no beef. My family, we don't have any beef with you. If you haven't heard, Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un are escalating into what appears to be a potential nuclear conflict. And I feel like that it's important that they know I've got no beef, never met a North Korean, did anything wrong to me. And it's very interesting that they're playing war games on this island of Guam that, unless you're in the military, I am 100% sure that you can't point out on the map. That's the show. We do this every week. You can listen to the podcast on Facebook.com/Off the Beam Path. You can find it on Off the Beam Path on Mixcloud.com/Off the Beam Path. I will not be with you for the next 2 weeks. However, if there's a request, I might pre-record a show next week and play it. You know, as I love all my listeners, I thank you for listening. Hope you guys have a nice week and a nice weekend. Enjoy it.
Some dark night when everything is silent in the town.